And now for today's scripture, Romans 8, 35, 37 through 39, and Matthew 22, 37 through 38. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment.
Thank you. My fourth grade teacher, Miss Sarah Parker, taught me the proper way to write a letter. She told us that you always started out with a greeting of dear, dear Aunt Jenny or dear Mr. Smith, and then you wrote the body of the letter, and then you had a closing. And she told us we could choose between only two closings. We could either say sincerely or yours truly. Well, things have kind of changed, haven't they? We don't write that many letters anymore. It's now it's emails or texting or iMessaging. And when it comes to closing, it's kind of whatever we want to put in as a closing. Maybe it's blessings or tears or peace or love. But there's no real set rules. But I remember a while back when I lived in another country and I had a friend in America that every single day would send me a prayer. And he'd write out this prayer and then at the bottom he would sign it with three words. And those three words were, you are loved. You know, there was something about those three words. I mean, it kind of said something about, you know, that he cared, but it meant bigger than that. It reminded me that I had other friends and that I had family that cared and loved me. And even more than that, since it was attached with a prayer, it always reminded me that God loved me. And there was something special about that. And today, if you don't remember anything else from this sermon, what I want you to go away with is the fact that you are loved. And that you hang on to that. You know, today in our teaching, we are looking at experiencing God. And we're continuing this study. And when we started it a few weeks ago, I stepped through that there were seven realities that we would be going through to help us to learn how to truly experience God. And that very first week, we went through that first reality, which is that God is always at work around you. Then we looked at how to know God's will and how to know God's voice. And so this week, we're looking at the second reality. And the second reality has to do with relationship with God, and it's a love relationship. And that second reality is that God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. Now, I want to share just one other thing for you, just because I think it's kind of neat. Back when I laid out, you know, when we would be covering different parts of this and having to match up with those Sunday school classes that are teaching this and when we could show the videos on Wednesday nights and when we'd have different sermons, I just kind of laid it all out and then matched it against the calendar and then walked away from it. And it wasn't until later that I came back and noticed that today's sermon, a love relationship, just happened to fall on Valentine's Day. So I thought that was neat and kind of one of those God things. But, you know, when you go back to the very beginning, you were created out of love and you were created for love. You are God's masterpiece and his workmanship. And in fact, King David talked about this in Psalm 139 when he said, For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, God created us to desire Him and to need His love, and for us to love Him back. And in fact, I heard one time from a preacher, and it's made an impression on me, that in all of our heart there is a God-shaped hole. And that God-shaped hole in our heart can only be filled by God. And that's such a wonderful picture for me to be able to think about my relationship with God and know that it's only a relationship with God that will fill that. Otherwise, I will be empty. There will be something missing. And that's true for all of us. You know, subconsciously, we all kind of know there's something missing in our lives when we don't have a relationship with God. Now, we may try to fill it with other things. We may think that success or fame or money or buying things might help fill that emptiness that we know is inside of us. Or we may even realize that it's a relationship that we're missing, but then we think, oh, if I could just meet that perfect man or that perfect woman, my soulmate, then I wouldn't feel empty. And some people fill it with other things, with drug or alcohol or extravagant living. But nothing can fill our lives and what's missing except for a relationship with God. And so that's what we need. And the neat thing is that God pursues us. God pursues us and wants to initiate that love relationship so that we're in a relationship with the Lord and we can really experience Him. And it's because He loved us first that we're able to really know Him. And does anyone else find that just amazing that the Lord God Almighty cares enough about us, even with, you know, all of our mistakes and failures and everything else, He cares enough about us to love us deeply? I think that's just amazing. And there's nothing that can separate us from God's love. In fact, the passage that Andrea just read to us from Romans 8 talks about that. In first place, the 8th chapter of Romans is such a powerful chapter anyway. It has so many great comments and verses in it. But the last few are really powerful where it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, nothing can separate us from God. And when you think about it, Christ demonstrated His love for us when He died on the cross. And He didn't do that because we deserved it. He did it because He loved us. And in fact, Scripture continues to talk about that. In Romans 5:8, it tells us that God demonstrated His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then in 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." You know, Christ demonstrated His love for us. And we need to remember that. And I think when things are going well in our lives, I think then we remember it. And we remember that God loves us. But I think where we forget is when things get difficult, or when things aren't going exactly the way we expected them to go, then all of a sudden we start doubting. And we forget Christ's sacrifice for us and all that he has done to care for us. Henry Blackaby talks about this, and he puts it beautifully when he says that you have to look at your life against the backdrop of the cross. And when you always remember the cross and the fact that Jesus Christ died for us, then it makes a difference in how you look at everything else. And he shared the story about their daughter, Carrie. And she was diagnosed with an advanced case of cancer when she was only 16 years old. And so she had to go through chemotherapy and radiation. And it was very difficult. And for those of you who are parents, then you understand this. You know, there's nothing that hurts you more than for your child to be hurting in some way. You know, if they hurt, then we hurt. And so Blackaby and his wife were going through this difficult time, and certainly they could have looked at their situation and said, well, God, you must not love me or you wouldn't have made this happen. But they didn't do that because they knew that long ago Jesus Christ died on the cross and he sacrificed himself because he loved us. And it's not the circumstance that we're in that shows the love. It's knowing that Christ has already given himself for us because of his love. And we just need to remember that. We need to remember that Christ has already demonstrated his love and that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. So what should our response be to this love? It's to love God back. You know, in fact, if we look at the commandments, the greatest commandment in the Bible is it's listed in the Old Testament and twice in the New Testament, and it simply says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Just love God. And that's what we need to do, is to love God. And when we do, it makes all the difference. You know, how do we demonstrate our love to God? We demonstrate our love to God by how we live our lives. We demonstrate our love to God by keeping our focus on Him. We demonstrate our love to God by keeping Him as our priority. We demonstrate our love to God by trusting Him and obeying Him. In fact, Jesus even said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. You know, Jesus loves us so much that he just wants us to be blessed. And the way that we are blessed is by living in a relationship with him. And when we do that, our lives are transformed. Now, there's some great stories about lives being transformed by God's love. And one of them that I really appreciate is about a man from Brazil. And this man had a grandfather and a father who were both alcoholics. And so naturally, he became an alcoholic. And he had a family, a wife and children. And unfortunately, because he spent all the money on liquor, he didn't really take care of his family. In fact, they lived in this just little cardboard hut. And he was very abusive to them. And one day, someone invited his wife to go to a Bible study. And she went and she became a Christian, and it made such a difference in her life that she began praying for her husband. And now her husband just refused to have anything to do with the church or the Bible study, but she continued to pray and was persistent because she knew if her husband ever knew God's love, it would transform his life. And sure enough, one day when he was at his absolute lowest, then somehow he realized that God loved him. Even with all of his failures, even with all of his mistakes, even the way he had messed up his life, he realized that the Lord God Almighty loved him. And it transformed him. And he began to go to the Bible study. He gave his life to Christ and became a Christian. And he started inviting everyone else to go to the Bible study. And pretty soon the Bible study grew, and so they had to split it. And they said, would you lead one of the Bible studies? And so he did. And he continued to invite more people to the Bible study, and all of a sudden it was too big, and so they said, okay, we've got to split it again. Can you be over two of the small groups in the Bible studies? He began to really take care of his family, and he saved some money, and they were able to buy a modest brick home in a new neighborhood. And pretty soon he had led all of his neighbors, except for one, to the Lord. And the church that they attended invited him to come on staff and be part of the pastoral staff. And that tiny, tiny church has more than 12,000 in attendance. He and his wife now lead Marriage Encounters. And he's a loved and respected husband and father and friend. All because of God's love. And the fact that God's love transformed him. You know, God's love can transform us in amazing ways. And it's the most important thing in our lives. And when we experience it, and when we give that love in return, then it makes all the difference. It changes how we look at everything. It gives us hope for the future, and it impacts how we live our lives. And when God fills that hole in our heart with His love and keeps pouring that love into us, then all of a sudden we're soaking in that love, and it's just overflowing from God's love, and it overflows into other lives and makes a difference in their lives as well. And, you know, there's no way that we can love others without first experiencing God's love. You know, it's the greatest realization ever when you really grasp the knowledge that the Lord God Almighty loves you, and that there's nothing that you have to do to win His love. There's nothing that you can do to earn His love. He just loves you. And He pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. May you always, always know that you are loved. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful that You have loved us in the first place. And it's because of Your love that we're able to see life differently. Lord, and I pray for everyone that's here that we would really understand Your love. That it's just as we are. That we don't have to be perfect in order to receive Your love. That You love us even in the condition that we're in. But it's because of that love that we want to be better, that we want to be more like You, that it changes everything in our lives. And I pray that every single individual might come to know Your love and truly experience it. In Your holy name we pray. Amen.